I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Arnold Palmer is the Masters champion of 1960. He has birdied the last two holes to catch and then move ahead of Ken Venturi, one of the greatest displays of courageous golf that anybody has ever seen any place.
Up the hill.
Oh, did you ever see one like that? I think that's one of the greatest putts I've ever seen in my life.
Maybe. Yes, sir!
There it is! Can you believe it? Nick Faldo! There it is! A win for the ages!
Is it his time?
Yes!
Comes.
Oh my goodness. Oh wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nantz. It's my great pleasure to welcome you to the Masters Tournament. I've heard it said before. It's a tradition unlike any other.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. It is Masters Week, so we have Pauly from Pauly's Picks coming on to help us all with our Masters pools, DraftKings, one and done leagues. You know, this is the week where everybody has a chance to win $1 million on DraftKings. So, Pauly, welcome on.
Hey, what's up, Andy?
Not much, man. Just a busy week and ready to... I'm excited for it, and you know, it's crazy this year with how many, you know, people are peaking going into the tournament, and it makes picking for one and done and all of these things really tough.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those, like, a perfect storm scenario where you couldn't imagine having this many people playing good coming into Augusta and this many good storylines. It's literally like a script out of a movie.
Yeah, what do you think legitimate winners, like, you know, in turn, I think there's probably about 20 guys where if you told me, hey, Tommy Fleetwood won, I wouldn't be surprised. Where do you think it goes down to?
Yeah, I think there's about 15 to 20 that would win, but I think this is one of the unique years to where there's about 8 or 10 guys that you could tell me win by 4 or 5 shots, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just because when the guys are on fire, like when Justin Thomas gets on fire, or when DJ gets on fire, or, you know, or Jason Day, right? When those guys are the top of their game, they can win an event by 4 or 5, especially in a major.
I agree. I think if we will be treated to an unbelievable Sunday if we could get 2 or 3 of those guys playing at the top end of their game and see a real shootout. It'll be really a fascinating Masters to watch. So with all eyes on golf for, you know, the biggest week of the year, tons of people are playing pools. And I think the pools really mirror DraftKings pretty well in the sense of, you know, a lot of people like to pick the same guys. So what's your strategy going into DraftKings or, say, big office pools or big friend pools?
Yeah, so if I'm trying to, you know, win a big pool, whether it's on, you know, winning the Millionaire Maker on DraftKings or winning a pool where there's, let's say, maybe 100 entries, I'm going to try to figure out who I think everyone is going to pick, and then maybe I'll take a slightly, like, lower-owned guy. So, for example, like, if you think Jordan Spieth's going to be, you know, the highest selected player in your office pool, you may want to pick, you know, somebody else in that tier just because you're going to have a better chance to win most likely if you're not playing Spieth at that point.
Do you expect Spieth to be the highest owned player, or do you think it's going to be Tiger?
After what he did today in Houston, I would think so, yes. With him finishing third there and putting miserably, I think he's going to be the highest owned guy in most of the pools and possibly even on DraftKings this week.
I feel like the third place finish for Spieth there was like the ideal finish. You don't want to win that week because it's so hard to win back-to-back tournaments, and nobody's ever won in Houston and then won at Augusta. But a third place, ideal, right?
Yeah, definitely. And the way that Spieth did it too, I mean, he lost three shots on the greens this week in Houston and finished third.
Are you worried at all, given that, you know, he entered the week, I think, 172nd in strokes gained putting?
No, I mean, based on some of the interviews he's had in the past regarding Augusta, he just is able to see the lines very well on those greens and just feels comfortable. And if he just has a marginal putting week, he's going to be in the contention in the back nine on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So Spieth, you're expecting going to be the highest owned player. Who would you say kind of if you're looking at, we'll say, Rory, Tiger, Spieth, Justin Thomas, DJ as kind of this upper echelon. I guess you could throw Jason Day in there. I feel like Justin Rose could be in that section. How would you rank those top tier options if you were picking?
You're talking in regards to DraftKings or for like office pools?
We'll say each.
Okay. So if we're looking at DraftKings, where it's, you know, a salary based approach, where you have Dustin Johnson is the highest priced guy by a good amount. He's at 11,400. Mm-hmm. I think he's not going to get picked a lot because people are going to go down and play Jordan Spieth at 10,400, or they'll even play Tiger at 10,000, or even, you know, similarly priced players of Rory or Jason Day. So I think DJ goes a little bit under-owned up there, maybe only owned by 10 or 15% of people. And DJ's a heck of a player and can make a lot of birdies and eagles, which is good for DraftKings scoring. So,
yeah, that's true. I mean, $1,000 and the field is small, so you can make it up on the back end with some good low price players, right?
Definitely, yes.
So you like DJ of this top tier, and say, you know, I know a lot of people will put $100 in and do five of these entries. How do you strategize with going with, like, when you do multiple entries for these things? Do you have a core group of guys, or do you try and checker a couple, you know, different lineups together?
Sure. I can kind of talk about the strategy I do for the large events like this. So this week we have the Millionaire Maker on DraftKings, which it's a $20 entry, $1 million first place prize. And I think second place is like $150,000. So you're pretty much putting $20 in trying to hit the jackpot for $1 million. And with that thought in mind, you want to have a unique lineup because there's over 200,000 entries in this. So with only, you know, 80 something guys in the field, you're going to have a lot of lineups that are duplicated to where you may put a lineup in with a bunch of guys that are very popular and 80 other people have the exact same lineup. And I think that's a problem you can run into, Andy. Don't you agree?
Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago, I was like, when Spieth had that horrible, disastrous quadruple, I was in like seventh place in this thing. But another guy had the exact same lineup as I did. And I was watching myself go up there and I was like, oh man, somebody else has the same lineup. Then he made a seven, which made it completely moot. But, you know, you could see it when you get up there. It's like, yeah, there's so much. I mean, one player makes all the difference between first and what, 50th sometimes.
Exactly. And so one of the strategies that I'll do this week is we have a $50,000 budget on DraftKings, and the pricing is pretty soft in terms of, you know, there's a lot of guys down that are valuable at the lower end that you can play, or even in the middle range, to where I'm not going to use all $50,000 because a lot of people will fill out a lineup and they get to their last guy and say, hey, I got eight guys, $8,800. He's going to spend that $8,800 on a player that's pretty close to that price range. Whereas I'm going to probably go down and leave myself $500, $600, $700 and choose somebody, you know, around 8,000 just because it's going to provide me a unique lineup to where, you know, I may have the same five players as somebody else, but I'm not going to be duplicating their lineup because of that. And you could have some players that maybe the difference between choosing, let's say, instead of taking Paul Casey, you take Adam Scott, which in reality isn't a big difference between the players.
That's a great point. I mean, it's hard when you got money to not spend it. And in this case, you're saying don't spend all your money. because it'll give you more chance of being unique.
Exactly. So, I mean, you could end up having winning the Millionaire Maker and having 50 people tie you, and maybe you end up getting like $30,000 when you think you would have won $1 million.
That would be an ultimate buzzkill.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, getting into kind of some players you like. So, as we talked about earlier, there's say 15 to 20 guys that could legitimately win this thing. And then with DraftKings, which are the top tier, say 8,300 guys or 8,000 and above, who are the guys you like?
So the guys that I like there, I think one guy that'll fly under the radar a little bit is Hideki Matsuyama. So Matsuyama's down at 8,400, and I think a lot of people won't play him because the last time they kind of saw him or heard from him, he was injured, withdrew from the Waste Management in Phoenix. But since then, he's come back, played twice at Bay Hill and WGC, and from all reports I've heard, he's back healthy. And he tends to play pretty good here at Augusta with a lot of high finishes and has that high towering iron game, which is perfect for a lot of the approaches into the greens.
Yeah, I think one of the things I look for with Augusta picks in general is iron play. So I think the best iron players play the best at Augusta because of the way the course is set up, where the approach shots have, you know, very little room for error. You know, they ask you to hit these great approach shots. And, you know, typically what you see is the guys that regularly have success at Augusta are some of the best iron players. So you look at Paul Casey, 3 straight top sixes. He's one of the best iron players in the world. Justin Rose, one of the best iron players in the world. Phil Mickelson, one of the best iron players in the world. Tiger Woods, you know, so on and so forth. And Hideki Matsuyama is one of the best iron players in the world. So I definitely like Matsuyama.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more, because it's not necessarily about hitting it close with the irons. It's hitting in the correct area on the greens. And so when the guys are that aren't as good with irons are missing it, they're missing it in spots to where they can't get up and down. And that's where the bogeys creep in. If you look at guys that have won here in the past, it's by eliminating bogeys, not by making 25 birdies.
Well, I think one of the things with that too is that Augusta has a lot of uneven lies. So what you get with those uneven lies is it makes it harder to hit the right number. So the great iron players separate themselves even more because it's just, you know, they're more talented and it's a tougher situation. So I think like a couple places that mirror that are Kapalua, Pebble has some pretty uneven fairways, Memorial, even John Deere and Barracuda are a couple other ones that are some of the most undulating fairways on tour.
Definitely, yeah.
So then if you're looking at like your office pool, obviously it's a little bit different and you're dealing with like a different kind of subset where could you, I generally think my strategy, and you tell me if this is right or wrong. I think that when I'm in my friends' pools, no offense to any friends listening, or in office pools, what happens is there's a lot of people that don't know what they're doing. So they go after the big names. And if you pick some guys that are playing well, that are a little bit lesser known names, you usually have a lot of success.
Yeah, I think the big advantage on the office pools isn't necessarily with like your top pick, because a lot of times you're just put in little pods. So you'll see the top like 10 guys in one pod. It's about differentiating in other pods to where you may pick somebody like, example, like a Tommy Fleetwood, to where, a person that watches a lot of golf is going to know him. But a casual golf fan that just watches the majors isn't going to know that much about Fleetwood.
Yeah. So with DraftKings, and sorry to bounce back to this, anybody you like outside of DJ and Matsuyama? I know you mentioned Adam Scott before in this 8,000 above range.
Yeah, I think one other guy there is going to be Paul Casey. I think he's going to be one of the higher owned guys of the week as well, probably in the top 4 or 5 highest owned. His iron game is just too good. As you mentioned earlier, he's got 3 straight top sixes here. He's been playing good all year. His last 10 events on tour, he's gained 39 shots on approach, which is just a stupid statistic there. And if he's able to have, you know, a halfway decent putter, he's going to be another top 5 or top 10 finish this week again.
You know, Paul Casey's number 1 in the Sagarin rankings, which is like, you know, they do head-to-head against every golfer every week. He's number 1 in the world.
Yeah, Mr. Consistency.
Yeah. So we got to ask, what about Phil and Tiger? Where are you standing on these two?
So I'd rather have Phil than Tiger this week, just because Phil's hitting his irons really good. Over his last, you know, he obviously didn't play great in Houston this week, but prior to that, his four, you know, stroke play events, I think he gained 15 shots on approach and finished in the top six in each of those events, and then obviously won the WGC in Mexico. So I'd take that over Tiger any day.
Okay. So now we're down into the 8,000, and I mean, it's always funny, I feel like, when you look at this range of players for the Masters, because 8,000 and below, and you see these names that a lot of times are some of the highest priced guys at your regular tour stop. So, say 7,900 starts with Louis, then it goes to Henrik Stenson, who I horrible form, but then let's knock this down to 7,000. What are the names that kind of jump out in here?
Sure. I think the one that jumps out, if you're looking like for consistency and most likely, you know, get you a nice high top 10 finish, is going to be Matt Kuchar. Kuchar played good here in Houston as well. And his track record at Augusta is very solid, where he's had top eight finishes in four of the last 6 years. And he's just a guy that's just going to plod around, not make a lot of mistakes, keep it in play, miss on the correct side of the greens. And, you know, he's not going to run away with anything, but he'll be there come the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at stats and trying to dive into this. I couldn't sleep on Sunday night, and I was thinking about, you know, why people play well at the Masters, and I started thinking about Matt Kuchar, and I started to realize that one of the more underrated skills that guys have that do well is the short games, because everybody misses and puts themselves in bad positions, and I think, you know, Jordan Spieth and Kuchar are two great examples of that, is that they miss smart, but then they also have just unbelievable short games that allow them to keep their momentum going but with those par saves.
Yeah, and I think the one other thing that helps Kuchar at Augusta, he's very good with distance control, and so you don't want to be missing any of your shots long on any of these greens, and he tends to, if his misses are going to be left and right on iron shots, which is a lot easier to get up and down.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Berger's a guy that I've, you know, top 27 in his two starts there. Really good iron player. What do you think about Berger?
He's a guy that has a lot of upside, I would say, to where, you know, you tell me he finishes, you know, in the top 10, I can definitely believe it. I'm not sure if he can possibly win here, but he's a guy that when he's playing well makes a lot of birdies, which is going to be good if you're playing him on DraftKings at 7,500 this week.
Mm-hmm. Who else kind of jumps in here?
I'd probably drop down a little lower to Charlie Hoffman at 7,100.
Okay.
He was the leader after the first round here last year. So the last 3 years, he's gone 22nd, 29th, and 9th here. And he's gained strokes on approach in every event so far in 2018.
Yeah, everybody was expecting him to fade away. He kind of hung around all the way through till Sunday. And, I mean, he's a guy that gets better every year, seemingly, and he hasn't had a breakout performance this year, but he's been solid.
Yeah, and I think the one thing with Hoffman was, I don't think he's scared of the big moment. I think he actually relishes, you know, being in contention and, you know, needing to play aggressively. He's not going to let off the gas pedal if he's in there, you know, on Saturday and Sunday.
What about your boy Russell Henley? I feel like you always love Henley everywhere.
I like Henley because for some reason he plays well on courses that he has good history at. That same thing happened this week in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kind of expect him the same thing this week, to where, you know, he's a pretty good driver of the golf ball and then has a pretty good short game, and that tends to add up pretty well here at Augusta.
Yeah, yeah.
And makes a lot of birdies.
Any players in here that you don't like? Anybody you're fading?
If we're looking on the DraftKings side, when it comes to tournaments, I tend to fade guys that don't make a lot of birdies. So that would be, you know, your guys like maybe a Brendan Grace or possibly even maybe a Charles Schwartzel, just because the upside isn't that great for them, to where they could finish 10th and it could be the same amount of points DraftKings wise, the guy that finishes 30th that makes a lot of birdies.
So what about Cantlay? He hasn't missed a cut since coming back from injury, and he was the low am here the only other time he's played. Kind of fits what we've been talking about too.
Yeah, it's hard for me to go with Cantlay this week, week to have a, you know, to be in full contention. I think he probably makes the cut and finishes, you know, around 20th. But I tend to go for guys that have played the Masters multiple times just because of the experience of where to hit it on the greens, knowing all the pin locations, and just being comfortable in that atmosphere. And, you know, Cantlay hasn't played here in, what, 6 years, and that was as an amateur, so it's going to be a little tough.
I like Cantlay still. I think he's a big game hunter. Hagestad came on the pod. He was saying he thinks Cantlay might win, which is crazy, but who knows? Crazier. That's why they play the game, right?
Exactly, right? Anybody can win.
So anybody else in the 7,000 to, you know, 7,900 tier that you really like before we drop down into the bargain basement?
I think one guy that may go under-owned to, you know, the general population is going to be Kiradek off the barn rot. Mm-hmm. So he's played the Masters once in 2016, finished 15th, and he's played pretty solid this year, you know, with three top tens in his last four starts worldwide, I believe. So yeah, if he can, you know, and he's a guy that isn't afraid of the moment and likes playing aggressive, and he also hits driver every hole and hits it pretty straight. So
he hits it long too.
And it's a long, yeah. So he can rack up a lot of birdies for a guy that's, you know, 7,100 is pretty good value there.
Mm-hmm. So 6,900, there are some really good names right at, you know, the 6,800, 6,900 as well. So you got Pat Perez, Martin Keimer, Kevin Chappell, Brendan Steele, Bryson, Jimmy Walker, Duffner, Stanley, Willett. I don't think that's a good one. And then, Bernd Wiesberger. I think Wiesberger's made the cut every year at the Masters he's played.
Yeah, I'd be more likely to pick Wiesberger in a like an office pool to where birdies don't matter, because he's a guy that kind of plods around and doesn't make a ton of birdies. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, for DraftKings, he may not be the best choice for that.
Okay, what about either any of those other guys?
Yeah, I definitely like Pat Perez this week. He's kind of got the, you know, the good attitude coming in to where he's going to be attacking the golf course. But when he gets going, he has the ability to, you know, he's not afraid of going up against a Justin Thomas or a DJ in contention. Whereas some of these other guys haven't necessarily proven themselves as much, where I think Pat Perez could actually get it done if he was on, you know, in the final pairing on Sunday.
I'm all in on the scientist this week.
I'm actually, believe it or not, a big Bryson fan this week as well.
I mean, he was really, really great at Bay Hill. He was really awesome his first appearance at the Masters, and he won a deer run, of course, with a lot of side slopes and uneven lies and fairways.
Yeah, I think picking the correct one or two players down here is going to be what differentiates, you know, a winning lineup on DraftKings this week to win $1 million. Is picking the one or two guys down here that finish top six, top seven, that's what's going to win it for you.
Jimmy Walker's actually been playing pretty well lately, and obviously has had a really good track record at Augusta. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I definitely like him as another option on DraftKings, even in pool formats, because based on how he's playing, he's going to be pretty far down in some of the pools that are, you know, putting like, you know, pods of 10 players. He may be in your fifth or sixth pod and maybe a pretty good option down there.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else, you know, below there, do you like any of these guys to take a flyer on? Any of the AMs or anything?
I tend to stay away from the AMs and some of the senior guys, just because there's really not that much upside. I'd rather have somebody else take them, and, you know, not saying it's dead money, but I'd rather, you know, have them choose them for at a couple percent on DraftKings, and hopefully they don't play that well and just knocks out one more entry I don't have to go up against.
Yeah, yeah. I Neiman is very talented, but it's such a crapshoot.
Yeah, and then the one thing with all the young amateurs playing here is the fact that most of them it's their first time playing here, which, even if it was a pro, I'm most likely not playing a guy if it's his first time here.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to one and done. You're in the one and done. What are you looking for this week? Is it based off of where you're at in the standings? I know it's kind of early in the season still, but are you looking at it based off of where you're at in the standings?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to approach it. And I'd also want to probably chart out what you're going to do for the rest of your majors, the rest of the season, and, you know, figure out, you know, roughly what are your options going forward to where, let's say you don't want to blow Dustin Johnson this week if you're going to pretend to use him for the U.S. Open or another major, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not one for organization. So what do you do if you're me?
I would just take a look and think, you know, give yourself a couple options. And you know, if you're near the top of your standings, you may want to go somebody more chalkier, such as if you have Jordan Spieth available, he's probably going to be the highest owned guy in your league this week. And you'd probably want to play him if you're near the top. If you're a little bit lower in the standings, maybe you go with a guy like Phil Mickelson, who won't be as high owned, or maybe even, you know, Justin Rose, who, you know, pretty much has made it his mission to win at Augusta this year after losing last year. He's kind of, you know, put his schedule made around winning the Masters this year, finished, you know, in the last seven times at Augusta, he finished outside the top 14 only once.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play great this week in Houston, which I think is going to get some people off of him for one and done purposes, which makes it even better if you're going to choose him.
Yeah, I think going into this week, he finished in the top 10, 13 of his last 15 starts, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that. What do you, guy I really like is Justin Thomas. Do you think he's going to be high owned across the board?
He's probably going to be, I think, in the top five in terms of ownership. I'm thinking on DraftKings, maybe around 20%. But in terms of like one and done, he'll probably be fourth or fifth in terms of ownership. I would think Spieth would be one. I'm actually thinking a lot of people are going to pick Tiger this week in one and done just because of the history and the fact that, you know, Tiger's back. He's coming to Augusta. He owns Augusta. I'd rather save Tiger if he's truly back to play maybe at the Bridgestone later in the year.
You got anybody that if you wanted to go really kind of off the wall, say you're near the bottom of your one and done and you want a chance to really make up some ground?
I mean, you can go with a guy like Tommy Fleetwood. He's probably not going to be picked much in your league, and he's pretty much the best iron player on the European Tour. So he reminds you kind of a young Justin Rose, where he's may not necessarily be the best putter, but his driver's pretty good, and then he's just really, really good with his irons.
Yeah. I think he's like the golf nerd pick of the week, I feel like, but there aren't a ton of golf nerds out there. So, and it's so hard to pass on some of these top guys. So, what else you got for us?
There's not that much out yet because we haven't had much of the odds placed out there out yet. They've had the odds to win being put out there, but not much in terms of any other matchups or any other prop bets for the Masters. So if you want, you can follow me along on Twitter during the week, and I'll have updates on there at Fried Egg Pauly.
It's always a good follow. Any good long shots you like this week?
When it comes to the Masters, I tend not to play many long shots just because you have so many of the top-tier players in good form that one or two of them are going to play good, and I don't see a guy from outside the top 15 or 20 in the world winning this week.
Not even Kyle's play of Louis?
If there was a guy, that would be the guy probably.
Do you ever do like top 10 bets from?
Yeah, I do top 10, top 20. And there's all kinds of other bets as well. Masters is pretty much the best week of the year in terms of bets. There's literally every possible bet out there. There's, you know, over-unders on everybody's finishing positions in the field too are out there. So it's a pretty fun week to be looking at the Masters.
Yeah. So follow Fried Egg Pauly on Twitter at Fried Egg Pauly, and you'll get updates on that. And we'll be looking for a good week here. So gun to your head, who wins the 2018 Masters?
Justin Rose.
All right. This always happens to me. I don't know. I'm taking Justin Thomas, but I'll probably switch the day of.
And then Justin Thomas will win.
Yeah, exactly. That's happened to me a couple times this year. It happened to me with Day when he WD'd from that damn
Pro Am Tour, right?
Yeah, and then it happened with me with Phil. I'm in another league where you have to pick an Illinois golfers with all my college buddies. And my buddies started talking about how you had to pick the Illinois, and I'd forgotten about the rule. And I had Phil in Mexico, and I then, sure enough, I switch it to Peters, and Phil wins. I'm like, this week I'm going with JT. I've been saying it all week, so I'm going with JT.
Okay, well, good luck.
All right, man. We'll do our draft also later this week. So that'll be in Wednesday's newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter, and good luck to everybody in their contests.